When we know the truth, then the truth sets us free. For Lord, you want us to be free and to walk with you unshackled. And Lord, you are doing that in your mercy and grace. And so, Lord, we thank you now that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've got a title here, and we're called this teaching today, Our Continual Stand. Our Continual Stand. And I'm basing this teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. And here is where the apostle is coming to the end of his writing to the church at Corinth. And he's now exhorting them. And he says here in verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And he says, then all that you do, let it be done in love. So that is his prayer. That is what he wants for those believers. And that is what God wants for us also. And he says in this, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And so I'm calling this today our continual stand. Note what he mentions here with regard to stand. Now, the Greek understanding of to stand means to persevere or to persist. So in some ways, it is a deliberate act. It is something that I want. It's right. And I want to stand. I want to persist. I want to be faithful. So that comes from our side in commitment, because most surely God is. We don't in any way doubt for one moment that God isn't persistent or faithful or persevere or whatever it is. We don't doubt that where he is concerned, but with regard to us, we have to make a confession before God so that we call upon his grace and mercy, that he aids and he helps us. This is why I always say that our relationship is a two-way thing. It's a covenant. But of course, we know that we can put our trust in him because he's absolute perfection. Nothing wrong at all with our Heavenly Father. So that's what it means when it says, watch, stand fast in the faith. And that's why we continually stand and endure, particularly now in these last days. You see, God has given us the power of the Spirit to stand, but we don't stand alone. The comfort and blessing of all of this is that we stand in him. He's not left you to stand in yourself, in your own decision, in your power and in your strength. God would never do that. What would be the point? Man can't even save himself. But God reveals that he will work on our behalf through the Holy Spirit. But as we know, he never forces us. He's gentle, he's kind, he's merciful. He's waiting, he's working through our whole life and situations, whatever it is, wooing us so that we make those right choices, those right confessions that line up with his word, and so that everything that we do is in him, in Christ, what he has done for us. Because he has overcome the world, so we too overcome the world. As he endured the cross to the end, so we likewise endure. Everything that Christ has done, he does for us on the basis of believing, yielding, trusting him. And we find that in that time, God has done that work of preserving and keeping us, because he wants us to stand in these last days. You see, so much what God is doing in us is for this very purpose. Much of our walk, the trials of our faith, what we encounter day by day, is all designed in such a way to get us to continue to stand and be faithful. Every day when you wake up, God is working in your life, my life, enabling us to be able to endure, to be able to stand against all odds, against those things that the enemy throws at us, or whatever it would be. This is why the gates of hell do not prevail against the body of Christ. In fact, we find when we read in history that through persecution, the body of Christ waxes stronger and bolder. Why is that? It's because we stand in him. And so this is what the apostle is saying here for these Christians, to stand, not to go back, to retract. Because this is what many do. We know people that we once fellowship with. Most Christians know of someone who has gone back, because they fail to understand that their standing, their endurance was in Christ. And he wants us to hold on to that, to believe that, to make that our confession. Let's look at some scriptures to confirm all of this to us. For example, in Ephesians chapter 3, and verses 16 to 21, Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 16 to 21. And it says, then he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in him. To him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How could we ever doubt when we read of such profound revelation there and such encouragement, what the apostle is revealing here, that we our stand is in him. We're grounded and rooted in him, in love, for the purpose, so that we stand and endure, that we can comprehend, as it says, with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. He's using a figurative metaphor here of trying to work out north, south, east and west. How far does it go? Well, we don't know. That's the whole point. We can't put any measurement on it. And he says, that's the fullness. That is what you are learning. No beginning, no end. It is continual. Never comes to an end. These are great, profound statements that the apostle is making here. And it says to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. In other words, the love of God is so profound, is so great, I don't have the words. Even my words that I'm using as I'm teaching and preaching you now is limited to what he says here, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you're filled with all the fullness of God. These are profound statements that are very hard to explain. Certainly could not explain that to an unregenerate who doesn't know the Lord. And we even struggle to get our minds and hearts around these great statements. Thank goodness that we're entering into all of this in eternity. And he says to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. So in other words, whatever you think, whatever's going on in your mind, whatever you've conceived, God is even greater. You can't begin to fathom or work it out. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we're not even scratching the surface of in asking, in thinking about him or whatever. These statements are there, brothers and sisters, to encourage our faith, to see how big and great our Father is who loves us. Because he says it's according to the power that works in who? In you, in me. Profound. And he says, for that, for you to inherit all of that, I want you to stand and not go back. What does it say in Ephesians 6 and verse 10? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Again, he stresses this, your strength is in the power of his might. Do you feel weak? Do you feel ineffectual? Then you can confidently say, whatever I feel, however weak I am, whatever type of day I've had, I stand in the power and strength of Almighty God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he's wanting to get that from your head to your heart. And this is why sometimes he takes us through these trials. Sometimes there are things I have to do. I have to do work around the house or in the garden. And sometimes I just think I haven't got the strength or within me, particularly with this very hot weather we've had recently, we've all found it extremely difficult. It certainly has been like going that extra mile where strength is needed. But I find myself saying, yes, I can do this because I stand in the power and strength of his might. In other words, his strength in me is made perfect in weakness. And if you've not experienced that, you have not said that, you are going to sooner or later. You will. Trust me. Because this is exactly what the apostle is saying here. The apostle says it about himself with all that he faced and the responsibilities of all the churches and the persecutions and imprisonments. He was drawing from the power of God in his life. And we must do likewise, because by drawing that power from God, that is your wholeness in mind, body, spirit. And this is why we must draw from that. And it starts by confessing it, particularly in a trial. How about Philippians chapter 1, verse 27? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, staying together for the faith of the gospel. And that's what we do. Doesn't matter how it looks like, whatever's going on, how negative it is, we stand together, we keep coming, we keep listening and fellowshipping. And that's what it means. And it's done by the power of God as we continue to stand by his grace. What does he say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1? Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. He's encouraging them to stand fast because some are going back. Some are compromising. They're meeting trials, persecutions, and so on. This is why sometimes God will permit persecution for a season to work this ability, this power, his power into them to stand firm. How would you know otherwise unless you go through the trials? How about Galatians 5 and verse 1? Galatians 5 and verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Of course, he's dealing there that you are saved by grace and not by law or works. And he's saying, stand fast. Don't get bound back under law. Stand fast by the grace of God that has set you free through Jesus Christ. The yoke of bondage. Because, of course, this is what he was dealing with. They wanted to start to bring in circumcision again and so on. And I'm encountering that today amongst Christians. They're wanting to go back under bondage. They're wanting to put themselves back under the Mosaic law. Crazy. What is that showing? They don't stand. They haven't had a revelation and understanding of whom they stand with. And who stands in them? Jesus Christ. And so with what we have been looking at back in Ephesians 16 and verse 13, he says, watch, stand. So with this standing comes a watching. So you don't just stand there like a pillar, not doing anything. Your standing is working many things, not only endurance, but it's also through your standing getting you to learn wisdom, to be watchful, to discern the signs and the times that we live in. That's another reason for it. And our Lord says this, Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So he calls us to watch. So there will be things that God will show the overcomers that they have need of seeing to prepare that we are near for the next great event of the church, which is going to be the rapture, the snatching away. So he says, watch and pray. And to watch and pray, you have to stand. You have to remain faithful. You have to persevere with that. And so prayer, watching, prayer makes us discerning, gets us to hear what the Spirit is saying. They will be the overcomers, the ones who are paying the cost, getting the extra oil of anointing, those wise virgins, because they all slumber, they all sleep. And then when the lights have to come on, the foolish find that they haven't got enough to keep their lights going. And what's light for? To be able to see. So this standing, this watching that we're talking about is like buildings, foundations. It has to stand firm. This is why the Romans were great builders and engineers. Roman ruins and that still stand today. After 2,000 years, we have Roman roads in this country. They go for miles, they're straight, because they were great engineers and they learned one thing. The foundation is essential if it's to stand. These great castles that were built, some of which still stand, even some of the ruins, they go back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They learnt about the importance of foundations. And this is one of the major problems in today, in modern day building, where they're wanting to put up all these houses now, and they put them up so quickly. And there's a lot of problems when people move into these places. They have to come back and repair and put things right and a number of things. Yes, they're under guarantee, but buildings, houses today are nothing in comparison what they used to be many years back when they were built. They will not stand like the old type of houses that were built. And we see exactly the same today. It's the spirit of this age. We're seeing now that the falling away, people are not faithful anymore. Faithfulness has gone in so much in marriages and family. People are not reliable. You don't hold a job now like you did years back. It was nothing to hear people being in a job for 20, 30, 40 years. I know people have been, my cousin that's just retired from the bank, 41 years. And it's almost unheard of today. Life has changed. And yet God, through all of this, calls us to stand, to be faithful, and to endure to the end. Because they're the ones who will receive the crown. Those crowns that are given to the overcomers one of the hallmarks is that they remained faithful. They endured. They stayed with it. What does Hebrews 12, verse 25 to 29? Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heavens. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as all things are made that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So God is shaking quite clearly. He's shaking the house of God. He's shaking Christians. He's shaking the world. He's shaking politics, commerce. Everything is being shaken for the purpose that what is not acceptable, what is not built on Christ, will not stand. As the great tribulation will come, all that are not found in Christ will not stand in that horrendous time when the wrath of God is poured out. And we are moving rapidly towards this. This is why God sometimes permits your life to be shaken for a season. Because this is the way you learn to persevere, to stand. Your last trial that you went through, and you've come through it, God wants you to see that you are standing in Christ and you were able to stand, you were able to endure, you didn't go back, you didn't give up on the faith, even as negative as it looked, because God is showing you, you stand by his power and might in your life. And all he asks us is to believe upon that. And that makes us an overcomer. It makes us one who stands, perseveres, because we know that what we are going through, what our trials are, what our test of faith is, it doesn't take us by surprise. We know this is God working. He's teaching me. He's working that strength, that stability within my life, my character, my standing, because we've learned we stand in him and not in our own strength. Those that go back, and many sadly have and many will, is because they try and do it in their own strength. We are saved by grace and not by works. Our faith produces the works. And that's the difference. And our faith is producing this continual stand that we have in him. Not by might, not by power, by his Spirit, says the Lord. Well, there we are. I trust you have been encouraged. It's really more of an exhortation today, but I believe we do need to hear it and to be reminded, and just to focus on the fact that we have trials and testings, but most of them are for the purpose that you stand firm in him. Praise God.